The 2024 presidential campaign features two candidates who are very well known to Americans. And yet, there's complexity at every turn. Criminal trials for one of those candidates. Young voters who are angry. The Campaign Moment podcast from The Washington Post gives you what matters. I'm Aaron Blake, and I'm covering my 10th election cycle. My colleagues and I have insights that you won't find anywhere else. So follow The Campaign Moment right now, wherever you're listening.
The Kakadu plum is an Australian native superfood containing 100 times more vitamin C than oranges. So why have you never heard of it? PR. No one's drinking a Kakadu smoothie? I'm J.B. Smoove, and that was a full episode of my new podcast, Straightforward, inspired by guaranteed straightforward pricing from AT&T Fiber. Get what you want without the complicated. AT&T Fiber, live like a Gagillionaire. Available wherever you get your podcast. Limited availability in select areas. Visit AT&T.com/hypergig for details.
You never want to find yourself out on the water fishing without the essentials. So it's best to always pack a Columbia PFG Solar Stream Elite hoodie to protect against the sun. I mean, it provides great protection, and it's really breathable so you don't get hot. That's a win-win. Columbia PFG has a lot of great gear. So before you head out on the water, head over to Columbia.com/PFG to shop their performance fishing gear.
You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Hey there, friends.
Hey, everybody.
How's it going out there?
I'm Eli.
I'm Diana.
What a week.
What a week.
What a week indeed. We're going to a wedding this weekend. I'm excited about that.
Yeah.
Dear friend Gabby.
Very excited about this. It's going to be a really fun wedding.
Yeah.
We're worried about keeping up. They're hard drinkers.
They are.
The couple.
Professional partiers.
Professional partiers.
Yeah.
So, well, we're guarding our livers.
She's a professional dancer, so stamina is kind of her thing.
It's true.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't understand it.
And having done the Fringe Festival for a period of time now, I have learned that dancers can't party.
Oh, my God.
Dancers be throwing down constantly.
Yeah. Because
I don't know how they're doing it, well, but they do.
They've got the metabolism of, like, hummingbirds. It's insane.
Well, and a bit of an unhealthy body image thing. So they'll always be like, oh, before a show, I just don't eat for a few days. And I'll be like, eat a sandwich. So they just drink everything.
I remember when I was a big energy drinker or a soda drinker, and I felt bad if I didn't have one, right? So my body would start alerting me like, hey, we need the thing you always drink. I'm like, oh God, it's been 2 hours. I better crack another energy drink.
Ugh, gross.
Whoa. Then I got kidney stones, and I never drank one again, and I still get kidney stones, so
that's true.
I guess maybe I should just keep drinking them. Wait a second.
Hey.
No.
I actually remember that. What was that show, My Strange Addiction or something like that?
Yeah.
Where they had this, she was like a nurse or a nursing student or something, and she just ate a crazy amount of sugar every day.
Uh-huh.
Like, she drank a bunch of soda, and she ate, like, Doritos for lunch, and I remember them trying to physically show her how much sugar in a day she was drinking by like bringing pounds of sugar, you know, and like showing her the mini bags
the
that
equivalent,
she was putting. And none of that worked. Like them showing her the amount of sugar, she was like, sure. And then they did a test on her and found she was pre-diabetic, and she was like, that really messed me up. I was like,
what did
you expect? Did you not pay attention in medical school when you were learning how to be a nurse?
I think that's the thing too, is like, you can feel fine.
Right.
And be, you know, and your body is shutting down one by one its organs. And you can also feel terrible and you're perfectly good.
I think
that's
working.
That's most of my thing is like, a lot of times I'm like, God, where's this sharp stabbing pain in my abdomen? And they go and they're like, blood work, scans, you know, physical tests, all these things. You're fine, dude. I don't know why you feel stabbing pains all over your body.
Maybe someone out there has like a voodoo doll of you.
I mean, you know,
just sticking pins.
Some kind of magic definitely happening.
What do you do to someone that they have a voodoo doll of you?
Where to begin?
All the many times I've been a real piece of shit.
All of my enemies out there, they're always doing things.
Well, actually, speaking of people who have a lot of enemies.
Yeah, there you go.
It's kind of a good lead-in today.
Yep.
I'm very excited about this story because actually it's about a distant relation
of mine.
An ancestor of mine.
Oh.
I may have talked before about my Scottish granny, but on her side, we are descended from Lord Robert Dudley, who was a favorite of Queen Elizabeth I.
No kidding.
And an earl.
So, by extension, you should be a favorite of Prince Harry.
Well, listen, if he had met me, I would be. I'm sure we would get along great. He likes actresses, so.
Oh, yeah, there you go. There you go. I hear that's the number one quality he's looking for in
right?
a person.
And he likes California. I like California.
I mean, come on. Look.
He enjoys having money. I enjoy having money, I'm sure. Once I have
probably.
Some, I'm sure I'll enjoy it.
Speculation station. I enjoy money. Would I to
sure,
have it?
But I'm pretty sure.
Hey, he's got a podcast. You've got a podcast.
Hey, right there. In fact, he and I could have a podcast and you and Megan could have a podcast. Wouldn't that be fun if we did like a podcast host swap?
I think you would end up doing a ridiculous romance episode about me and Meghan Markle running off together. Yeah.
Dang.
She'd be like, sure, the handsome prince was fine and all, but you, sir, have a quality as well that I like, and it is the
kidney stones. Oh,
all
Megan loves kidney stones.
Random stabbing pains you get in your body all the time just really get me going.
Huge turn on. You know, she would probably like that, you know, how like low drama. You know what I mean? Because like nobody, no offense to you, but nobody in England really cares what you do. So she's probably like, wow, we can go on a date and like nobody even ask a question.
That's fair. But I would speculate that part of Meghan Markle's thing is that she must like the drama a little, right?
Well, perhaps.
She can't have not known what she was getting into.
Yeah, I guess I guess you don't go, you know what I'd like? A low-key life.
Yeah.
So I'm going to marry Prince Harry of England.
I was really not expecting this drama. All right. Well, we've got some English folk to talk about.
We sure do, because Queen Elizabeth I had a favorite at court, her handsome and dashing master of the horse, Lord Robert Dudley, the Earl of Leicester, my distant ancestor.
Mm.
And Elizabeth was so into him that people thought that she would surely marry him and make him the king consort. There was only one problem. Robert Dudley was already married to a beautiful woman named Amy Robsart. But one day, Amy was found dead. And the kingdom exploded with speculation that Robert had killed his wife in cold blood so that he could marry the queen.
Ooh.
So today, we want to talk about the possible love affair between Lord Robert Dudley and Queen Elizabeth and decide once and for all if Robert Dudley is guilty of murder.
Let's go.
Hey there, friends, come listen well. Eli and Diana got some stories to tell. There's no matchmaking or romantic tips. It's just about ridiculous relationships. A lover might be any type of person at all, an abstract concept or a concrete wall. But if there's a story worth a second glance, we'll put it in our show, Ridiculous Romance.
A production of iHeartRadio.
All right, since this story involves royals, we know how complicated that can get. So it's best to get a little background and context. Let's light a candle, put on our best seductive smile, and have a quick fling with history.
What a mess.
King Henry VIII had royally rumbled England with his Church of England stunt.
Oh, sure.
Right? We all know he wanted to divorce his wife, Catherine of Aragon,
right,
in order to marry his mistress, Anne Boleyn, but the Pope would not let him, so he declared that England would have a new religion, Protestantism.
Easier to invent a new religion than to change the Pope's mind.
But Henry actually kept a lot of the same Catholic doctrine and rituals with his new religion. Like, his main concern was to just get rid of Catherine. And after that, he kind of lost interest in Protestantism. He's like, whatever.
Oh, wow. No, it was just like, yeah, I got what I needed out of you.
Yeah, very single-minded individual.
You're telling me that King Henry VIII wasn't very devoted to his religion?
not a guy with like a lot of the courage of his conviction.
Yeah,
like,
whatever religion was going on was really just an inconvenience to him at the
exactly.
time.
Exactly. He's yeah. like, I mean, I just need one thing from you.
Uh-huh.
Well, King Henry had one son and heir, Edward, with his third wife, Jane Seymour.
Mm-hmm.
And Edward would be the first monarch to be raised Protestant.
Okay.
And unlike his dad, Edward was extremely enthusiastic.
Yeah.
In fact, he became somewhat obsessed with the new church and with setting it apart from the Catholic religion.
Okay.
So when Edward ascended to the throne at the tender age of 9, he banned Catholic rituals like Mass as well as clerical celibacy.
Wow, what a precocious 9-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
Jeez. Well, of course, at that age, Edward wasn't really old enough to act as king, so he had this royal council around him who were really the ones running the show.
Mm-hmm.
One of his principal advisors was a guy named John Dudley, the Earl of Warwick, who was a staunch Protestant, like most of the council. Of course, Edward wanted a lot of pro-Protestants mm-hmm. around him. And John Dudley had led religious reform under King Henry. He also fought the Scots, and he pretty ruthlessly put down land rebellions in Norfolk. So he was basically the top dog around court. His service to the young King Edward won him a couple of dukedoms, and he became better known as the Duke of Northumberland.
Northumberland.
John Dudley had 13 children.
Phew.
And his 5th oldest son, born in 1532, was Robert Dudley. And he's the subject of our episode today. Of course, Diana's great, 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 great grand cousin, uncle, whatever it is.
No, somehow however related. He's related somehow, some way.
Somewhere in that tree, one of them branches is Robert Dudley. Robert grew up, of course, around royalty. He lived at court as a companion to young King Edward. He's just a little bit older than him. And he even shared a tutor with Edward's half-sister, Elizabeth, well, Tudor. So who was Tudor's tutor?
I love it. I think his name is Roger or something. I just love the idea of Roger being like, I'm a Tudor's tutor.
Roger, the Tudor's tutor, starring Jude Law. This year on HBO.
The Tudor's tutor.
So Robert and his little classmate, Elizabeth, had a lot in common. They were the same age. They were both smart and curious. They loved hunting and dancing and lively conversation. So they became very close friends.
In 1550, Robert fell in love with Amy Robsart, who was the daughter of a wealthy gentleman farmer in Norfolk, who he likely met when he participated in oppressing that farmer's rebellion there alongside his father.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Riding into Norfolk and being like, you Norfolkers better stop rebelling around here. We're going to put you down.
Man, you know, and I had a lot of sympathy for that rebellion because they were basically like, we need land to like grow food,
man.
You know.
Nine times out of 10, a farmer's rebellion, you want to be on the farmer's side.
Of course, I would.
Because usually it's like, hey, we're feeding the whole country and you're screwing us over.
But peasants, right? They always want more than they're supposed to have.
If you give a farmer a salary, he's going to want a glass of milk. You know what I'm saying?
You can't let him have an inch. Well, anyway, this was a pretty good match. Robert was a noble from a family with considerable influence, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
So pretty good husband material. He didn't have a lot of money of his own, though, because he's, you know, the 5th eldest son. He's not in line to inherit a lot of stuff.
I guess by the time you get down to the 5th son, there's not much left to give.
I know, right?
Yeah.
So he needed a rich wife. And, Amy's the daughter of this wealthy gentleman farmer.
Okay.
So that could lead to some money in the coffers. Meanwhile, John Dudley was very pleased for Robert to marry a Norfolk lady because that would increase his influence in Norfolk, where a lot of Norfolks did not like him because of the whole ruthless putting down a rebellion there.
Sure, sure.
So it was all good with the family, and they got married with King Edward in attendance. Very fancy wedding.
Mm-hmm.
And another of King Edward's principal advisors, John Dudley's colleague, William Cecil, disparagingly called it a, quote, carnal match or a love match at the wedding. Pretty rude thing to say at somebody's wedding. So we know that Amy and Robert were in love. Like, they were sincerely into each other, right?
And William Cecil is like, yeah, a marriage for love.
Disgusting.
Disgusting and irresponsible.
Right. I'm sure he thought, oh, Robert Dudley could do better than this farmer's daughter. You know?
Right, right. I don't care how much money she has.
Right, but Robert is like,
he looks at her lovingly and it makes me want to puke.
But Robert's like, go ahead and puke then, William. Now, neither Robert nor Amy had any money at this juncture, because Amy would not inherit anything until both her parents had died.
Okay.
So they relied on both of their families to kind of keep them afloat as a married couple. That's all well and good, except Robert's family was about to suffer quite a fall.
See, because Edward VI, the young king, was very sick, probably with tuberculosis. And by the time he was only 15 years old, it was very apparent that he was not going to live much longer. So Edward's new obsession became the succession. Just like my current obsession is succession.
He's like, I just love Tom Wamsgams and the Disgusting
Brothers. I know, but can you believe Kendall? Okay, we won't spoil anything, but like, oh my God. So Edward VI did not want his half-sister, Mary Tudor, who was the next in line, to become queen after he died because she was Catholic.
Mm-hmm.
So he wanted to dismiss her as a successor. But Duke John Dudley told him, hey, look, rules are rules. And if you disinherit your half-sister Mary, you're going to have to disinherit your other half-sister, Elizabeth Tudor, even though she was Protestant. So King Edward would much rather have had Elizabeth. Mm-hmm. So he's like, can I get rid of Mary? And they're like, if you get rid of Mary, Elizabeth's got to go too. So you lose both of them.
Right. I think because the reason being, you know, she's a half-sister and so on and so forth. So they're like, she's, you know, if she doesn't have a claim, then neither does Elizabeth.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You can't reason your way through this one, buddy.
Right.
So Edward's like, all right, fine. Forget the Tudor girls.
Mm-hmm.
And he ended up naming his cousin, Lady Jane Grey, as his heir. And this totally ignored the acts of succession that his father, King Henry VIII, had set up. And Edward wrote his own decree, which he called the Devise for the Succession. John Dudley, Robert's father, was by King Edward's side the whole time as they worked out the details. And he promised young Edward, you know, don't you worry about it, my lord. I will uphold your wishes after your death and make sure that Lady Jane Grey is queen. We've got it right here in writing. You're the king. How could anyone have a problem with that?
There will be no Catholic Queen of England while I live.
Absolutely. So when King Edward died in July of 1553, John Dudley got to work proclaiming Lady Jane as the Queen of England.
But a lot of people did not really love this plan.
What?
Like, a bunch of people in the council, in the court really hated it because Lady Jane Grey just happened to be newly married to the Duke of Northumberland, John Dudley's second youngest son, Guildford Dudley.
Oops.
So they saw this whole thing as just a grab for power for Dudley's own family. How convenient.
Yeah.
That, Lady Jane is going to be queen and she just happens to be, you know.
I mean, you can see why John Dudley was so on board with it.
Of course.
But my lord, if that's what you wish for my son's wife to be your heir, then, I'll go for it, I guess. My hands are tied. That's what the king wants, everybody.
I know. What can I do? What can I say? Now, another person who hated Edward's little device for the succession was Mary herself, obviously.
Sure.
Instead of attending Edward's deathbed, which was really just a plot to grab Mary and keep her from fomenting a rebellion, Mary smartly fled to Norfolk.
Oh.
Now, remember, most of Norfolk hated John Dudley.
Yeah.
And it's also where a lot of Catholics lived. So Mary was able to rally a lot of support to her side.
Sure.
She went to exactly the right place.
Mm-hmm.
For a sympathetic ear.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, John Dudley was in London crowning Lady Jane Grey. And he sent his son Robert Dudley, along with 300 men, to Norfolk to suppress Mary's plans, while John stayed behind in London to gather forces to meet her army. So he's very much prepared for an uprising from Mary's side. But it was too late. Mary had already written to the council in London. And since they did not like Dudley, they went ahead and named Mary the Queen behind his back. So Mary immediately got to work punishing the people who tried to prevent her ascension. And the Duke of Northumberland, John Dudley, was arrested. He was forced to convert to Catholicism, and he was beheaded.
Oh.
And he used his last words to plead for mercy for his sons.
Mm. Man, this religious wars.
Oof.
I mean, I am not, I think it's been said, I'm no theologian, nor am I practicing Christian, but I do get so caught up in these Catholic and Protestant wars where I'm like, well, we believe the exact same thing that you do, but differently.
I know, but we have to have a different ritual about it. So crazy.
Yeah, it's a lot.
And the fact that during Edward and Mary's reigns, they were burning people at the stake for being either Catholic or Protestant, depending on who was in charge at the time.
You better accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior.
I did. Do.
Well, do it different next time. Well, you know, it's almost like people in power are using... I don't want to sound crazy here. Are using, fine details and reinterpretations of religion to further their power and oppress other people. But, speculation station.
Yeah.
So, after poor John Dudley was beheaded, Mary, through his sons, Robert and Guildford, and Lady Jane into the Tower of London to await their trial and punishment. Robert Dudley was there in July of 1553, and his wife, Amy, was able to visit him during his imprisonment. But Mary's troubles were not over yet, because her main order of business was to get married and have an heir. That's what you do as a queen.
That's right. Well, and look at how much trouble had come from succession.
Exactly.
Everyone was obsessed with it. Like, let's just get a nice, let's get this chaos done.
A lady has a baby. The baby is the heir. Done
it.
And done.
And
no
finished.
Stepdaughters, half-sisters, weird uncles. We're done with that.
We're done.
Now, of course, everyone wanted her to marry an Englishman, preferably this earl who was named Edward Courtney. But King Charles V of Spain wanted to ally with England, so he brought over his son, Prince Philip, and was like, do you not like this handsome boy? And Mary was actually like, I do. Uh-huh. I do like him. Maybe I'll marry Prince Philip. But there was one big problem with these two getting married, because Philip was just as staunchly Catholic as Mary was. Mm-hmm. And people started to worry that if they had a Catholic queen and a Catholic king, that this would completely upend the Church of England and return the nation to strict Catholicism. So before they got married, a bunch of Protestants, led by Thomas Wyatt the Younger, hatched a plot against Mary called Wyatt's Rebellion, where they would assassinate Mary, place her sister Elizabeth on a throne as a Protestant queen, and have her marry Edward Courtney, the guy they wanted in the first place.
Real into Edward Courtney.
They love him. But the plot was discovered, and 3,000 insurgents were arrested. Robert Dudley got a new cellmate in the Tower of London, his old childhood friend, Elizabeth Tudor, who was put in jail on suspicion of being part of the rebellion, probably because all the rebels were marching around chanting her name and waving flags with her face on them.
Right. Historians are like, she probably didn't really have anything to do with it. But of course, gotta
she's
put
like,
her in jail.
She's just like, oh, my God, all these people are in the streets. Yeah, they want me to be queen.
Thanks, guys.
I've got nothing to do with this. I said nothing. But if you guys want. Okay, I'll do it.
Well, eventually, Lady Jane Grey, whose father had taken part in Wyatt's rebellion.
Mm-hmm.
And also, of course, was the ex-queen. She was
at
known as
point,
the Nine
yeah.
Days Queen.
Oh, man.
Her husband, Guildford Dudley, and 150 of the Wyatt's Rebellion insurgents were executed.
Damn.
And Edward Courtney was exiled, which I feel sorry for him. He's like, I was just a prospective groom for two ladies and then kicked out of my country. Like, this is crazy.
Wow.
But Robert Dudley and Elizabeth Tudor were set free.
Oh.
They were allowed to, Elizabeth was allowed to join her half-sister, Queen Mary, at court.
Mm.
And Robert Dudley went back to his wife, Amy Robsart, in October 1554.
Okay.
So he spent a little over a year at the Tower. Robert and Amy, you know, they needed a lot of help financially at this point, since Robert's family had fallen so far from grace. until Amy inherited her family's money and property in 1557, which sort of put them on some more stable ground. But they still moved around a lot, so they were often staying with different friends in different parts of the country. But in August of that same year, 1557, Robert went to fight for the now King Philip II, after which he and his surviving family members were restored to respectability at Mary's next parliament.
Okay. All right. So, all
right. What a relief.
Yes, you guys like kind of tried to overthrow us, or at least your families did.
Right.
But Elizabeth, why don't you come sit at my feet in court, which is probably as much of an insult as it is a forgiveness, right?
True.
And Robert, you just go off and fight for me. And if you don't die, we'll be friends again.
Right.
Okay.
And that is quite a relief, because it's no comfortable thing to be in disgrace with the monarch.
Yeah.
Although sometimes being the favorite isn't so comfortable either, as Robert was about to discover.
Uh-oh.
And we will tell you all about that right after these words.
There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
Today I'm going to give you some straightforward advice on how to deal with naughty kids. How about instead of timeouts, time ins? Time for you to start paying some bills. I'm J.B. Smoove, and that was a full episode of my new podcast, Straightforward. Inspired by guaranteed straightforward pricing from AT&T Fiber. Get what you want without the complicated. AT&T Fiber, live like a gigillionaire. Available wherever you get your podcast. Limited availability in select areas. Visit AT&T.com/hypergig for details.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.
As the number one audio company, iHeartMedia gives you access to all. Every audience, live conversations, trusted influencers, and the insights and data you need to grow. iHeartMedia is your access company. Go to iHeartResults.com for more.
Welcome back to Queen Mary's Court.
So Queen Mary the First, who we might know better as Bloody Mary, but that's another story, died in November of 1558, and it looks like she never produced another heir because her sister, Queen Elizabeth I, ascended to the throne. And this is where everything changed for Robert Dudley and his wife, Amy. One of the first things that Elizabeth did was make her bestie, Robert Dudley, her master of horse. This is a very prominent position. It basically meant that he was in charge of all of his favorite things, like everything to do with the horses and the hounds, also royal transportation and accommodation. And he planned most of the festivities around her coronation, too. So he's like the royal party planner.
Right.
The royal guy who gets to hang out with the horses and dogs. Like, can I have this position, please?
Not bad. I mean, he was in charge of everything, like the breeding, the stud horses, the mute. Like, he's in charge of all of it. And then also, whenever the court moved, which they did a lot, he had to make sure he had to arrange all the transportation for all the stuff and all the people and everything.
He's like, you know those blankets we put over them? I don't like the yellow trim anymore. Let's make it purple, give it some pizzazz.
Mm-hmm, that's right.
A little trumpet logo on the side.
He's like feeling the seats, the cushions, you know, in the royal chaise.
Oh, softer.
And he's like, ugh, you think these squabs are good enough for the queen's ass? Stuff with more goose feathers immediately.
More goose feathers. So obviously this was a huge job, and everybody agreed that Robert Dudley was eminently suited for this position. He was apparently quite the horseman. He was also an expert jouster, as well as an indefatigable tennis player. And he was the queen's most frequent dance partner. By April of 1559, he was elected a Knight of the Garter, the highest honor in the kingdom.
Not bad, Robert.
Right?
From the Tower of London to the Knight of the Garter.
Right.
In a matter of years.
But of course, having 86 jobs at court meant that he was never really back at his own home very much. He visited his wife Amy a couple of days over Easter in 1559, and she got to come out and watch him work for a month in May at court. And he also would send her presents all the time, you know. Oh, sorry, I can't make it. I'm stuffing goose feathers again tonight. But that was pretty much it. Otherwise, she was in Hertfordshire, and he was at court. He was just required to be at the beck and call of his best friend, the Queen.
Which brings us to this episode's side piece. And what a side piece she is.
It's time to party.
Queen Elizabeth I had fallen super in love with her BFF, Robert Dudley. She basically never let him leave her side. One court chronicle recorded that Robert was, quote, commanded to say he did nothing with his wife when he came to her, as seldom he did.
Wow.
Wow. So he straight up had to be like, I didn't touch her. I didn't kiss her. We did nothing.
So it's, oh, so Robert, you were visiting your wife. What did you two get into?
We sat very far apart, and I turned my back on her, in fact.
That's right, you did.
That's what I did. beautiful wife, I told her she was disgusting looking.
That's what you're contractually obligated to say. Thank you very much.
King Philip of Spain, who, remember, was married to Bloody Mary.
Right.
And after she died, he presented himself to Elizabeth as, like, a husband option.
Oh, sure,
for her,
yeah.
Because he's like, one sister's as good as the other. The main thing is that I want to be king of England.
Yeah, I was married to a queen. Everyone else is a step down.
It's so true. You know, we got to... I can't...
I like to make lateral moves, yeah. At least, if not up moves.
So he had been kind of trying to court Elizabeth himself, but he was informed by the Spanish ambassador, quote, Lord Robert has come so much into favor that he does whatever he likes with affairs. And it is even said that Her Majesty visits him in his chamber day and night.
Oh, my goodness.
So people all over the kingdom, kind of all over the world, this was like an international thing.
Right.
Were speculating that the queen wanted to marry Robert Dudley, and Robert Dudley was thinking of divorcing Amy Robsart. And there were rumors that Amy was terminally ill with breast cancer, and they were just waiting for her to die.
Wow.
And then there were other rumors that the cancer rumor was totally untrue, and Robert was just spreading that rumor, trying to make everyone think she was sick, so that when she died, it would be less suspicious.
What?
Rumors on rumors.
Wow.
The Spanish ambassador was so sure that Robert would be king one day that he concluded his letter to King Philip, quote, It would be well to approach Lord Robert on your majesty's behalf. Your majesty would do well to attract and confirm him in his friendship.
Damn, they were really convinced.
Oh, yeah. In another letter, he straight up said, No one else will be king but Robert.
Wow.
This is the guy.
Now, the Spanish ambassador was not the only person who was certain that Robert would end up the king consort. Elizabeth's court thought the same thing, and they did not like it.
Mm-hmm.
Because Elizabeth was the unmarried queen of a powerful country, so tons of foreign princes were coming through with parades and trumpets and, you know, all the moisturizer on, just trying to present themselves as the perfect suitor. You know, Prince Ali is here.
Mm-hmm.
All the fanfare you can imagine. But like Jasmine, Elizabeth was like, I am not a prize to be won. And she turned down every one of those suitors. And they started getting mad and whisper that, well, she's just not going to marry anyone but Lord Robert. And that she was just trying to distract everyone by pretending to entertain their marriage proposals while Robert worked out how to kill his wife.
Damn!
And plenty of plots existed to kill Robert, too, and get him out of the way. They're like, if this guy's gone, we can finally marry this lady.
Mm-hmm.
So many, in fact, that Robert started wearing a light chainmail coat under his clothes at all times.
Ooh.
He couldn't get surprised stabbed in the street.
He was straight up like, I need to be walking around with a bulletproof vest
for
on.
For real.
Well, it all came to a head in September 1560. Amy Robsart Dudley was in Berkshire. She was living in the best apartments at a relative's house called Cumnor Place with 10 servants. She was paying her own bills. She's handling her own business. Okay. She's buying nice dresses and so on and so forth. But the morning of the 8th, a fair was being held in Abingdon, the nearby town, and all the servants went to that fair, leaving Amy alone in the house. When they returned, they found Amy in a heap on the floor by the stairs, dead of a broken neck.
Oh.
Immediately, the speculation and rumors began.
Sure.
Was it just a tragic accident? I mean, it's certainly possible, but a lot of people were skeptical because the flight was only 8 stairs high. Mm. And that did not seem steep enough to cause a fatal fall. So, had Amy been murdered so her husband could marry the queen? And if so, who had done the evil deed? Well, I say that we take a look at the facts and the suspects and decide for ourselves once and for all.
Let's crack this case wide open.
That's right.
If scholars who've dedicated their entire lives to studying Queen Elizabeth haven't figured it out yet, then we can do it in 1 hour on a podcast.
Yeah, so welcome to the court. The ridiculous romance court is in session.
First, let's look at the suspects. Obviously, Robert himself. Mm-hmm. I'm sure someone walked into the room, saw Amy at the foot of the stairs, and the first thing they said was, Robert did it!
Of course. I mean, they had been speculating for a very long time that he was trying to do this.
Well, and he had a lot to gain from Amy's death. Like, once she was out of the picture, he could become one of the most powerful men in England if he married the queen. People have done far worse for less,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah, so true.
And not just the power aspect, but he actually might have been just as in love with Elizabeth as she was with him, right? Robert wasn't with Amy at the time of her death. He was in Windsor with the Queen, which is a pretty solid alibi. Probably a lot of witnesses.
A lot of eyewitnesses.
But he could easily have arranged someone else to act for him, right? And one of his supporters was in Berkshire that day. His name was Sir Richard Verney. Amy had stayed with him for a while after her Easter visit to Robert at court, and theories flew that Sir Richard had been slowly poisoning Amy, like Misha Barton in The Sixth Sense. And when the poison didn't work, he was just like, I'll just shove her down the stairs.
I mean, for okay.
Or he at least broke her neck and placed her at the bottom of the stairs.
Right. He went over to her house, scurried all her servants out to the stair. Snapped her neck and then just like placed her carefully at the bottom of the stairs. Well, let's go over the defense. Historians are pretty skeptical that Robert Dudley had anything to do with Amy's death.
Historians, what do they know?
Historians.
I've got a gut feeling after learning, you know, a few of the facts. That's all I need.
That's all I want to know. Well, Robert's letters, you know, after he received the message that she had died, his letters seem to show a man who is fully caught off guard. He's extremely upset. He's very surprised by news, and he is desperately wanting to understand what happened.
Okay.
And, of course, the point of him killing his wife would be that he could marry the queen. But the fact of the matter is that so many rumors were flying around about Robert and the Queen and the nature of their relationship that if Amy died under mysterious circumstances, there's no way that would help them get together.
Mm.
The rumors would get too insane.
Yeah.
In fact, the scandal was so crazy that it's pretty impossible for them to get married.
Wow.
This is the kind of thing that could destabilize Elizabeth's rule and foment a rebellion.
Okay.
So she has to be real careful. He has to be real careful. So historians are kind of like, this would not have led to what he wanted.
Right.
You know, so why would he do this? And they also find the idea of Sir Richard Verney trying to poison Amy slowly and then snapping her neck and everything to be pretty specious.
Yeah.
And I do, too. It's just, So I'm like, you have to stretch a lot that he would be like, oh, mysteriously poisoning her for many months. And
eat
all this
your
stuff.
Soup, Amy. Every bite.
Drink up. But Robert, of course, was far from the only suspect. Mm. And we will go over a few more right after this.
The best conversations I have with my colleagues are the ones that happen when no one is looking, when we're not 100% sure yet what to write.
Hopefully, having conversations like this can help you figure out your own point of view. That's kind of our job as Washington Post opinions columnists. I'm Charles Lane, Deputy Opinion Editor.
And I'm Amanda Ripley, a contributing columnist. We're going to bring you into these conversations on a new podcast called Impromptu.
Follow Impromptu now, wherever you listen.
Today I'm going to give you some straightforward advice on how to deal with naughty kids. How about instead of timeouts, time ins? Time for you to start paying some bills. I'm J.B. Smoove, and that was a full episode of my new podcast, Straightforward. Inspired by guaranteed straightforward pricing from AT&T Fiber. Get what you want without the complicated. AT&T Fiber, live like a Gagillionaire. Available wherever you get your podcast. Limited availability in select areas. Visit AT&T.com/hypergig for details.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV true crime podcast, To Live and Die in LA. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turns sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to court, where we're discovering if Lord Robert Dudley is a murderer.
The court. Dun, dun. So we've covered Robert Dudley and his buddy Sir Richard Verney, but what about Elizabeth herself? She was the queen and she wanted to marry her favorite boy toy, so why not just take matters into her own hands, or a lackey's, and just kind of clear the way? I mean, how hard is it for a queen to whisper to someone like, I don't think she should be around anymore. Wink, wink.
Winky, wink.
It's all very House of the Dragon.
Very true. Yeah, she totally got like Littlefinger over. And she's like, hey, Littlefinger, you know what event I'd love to attend? Amy rubs out Dudley's funeral.
Yeah.
That's the party I want to go to.
Real tragedy if anything were to happen to her. But you wouldn't know anything about that, would you?
Not at all.
But the thing is, Queen Elizabeth has pretty much the same defense that Robert has. If she wanted to marry this guy, it couldn't be with all these rumors flying around about them conspiring to murder his wife together.
Right.
And again, the ensuing scandal made it impossible for them to marry anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And Elizabeth was not stupid. Like, she would have been smart enough to realize that her enemies would use this against her. In fact, when Mary, Queen of Scots, her chief rival, heard the news, she immediately responded that Elizabeth would, quote, soon marry her horse keeper.
Oh my God.
That's actually, I heard a recording of Mary, Queen of Scots. That's exactly what she sounds
like. That's exactly
what
she sounded like.
Yeah.
Oh, what a bitch. I love that she's acting like he's not also a lord.
Nope.
Like noble. She's
That's
like,
the stable
oh,
boy.
She's basically like marrying her groom or something.
She might as well marry the horse.
Oh, that's for her mother to do.
Oops.
Oopsie.
Well, Elizabeth was also notoriously against marrying anyone. In fact, when her third stepmother, Catherine Howard, was executed when Elizabeth was only 8 years old, she confided in her bestie, Robert Dudley, that she would never get married.
That's right.
And some people think that's why Robert married Amy in the first place, because he knew that he would never be able to marry Elizabeth. Although, I gotta throw out there that I mean, I think I said when I was 8 years old that I would never get married. Gross.
Girls are grit.
You know, I just think that's not really something you would take seriously and long term to hear a child say.
I feel you, but the child of King Henry who watched that many women get fucked over for marrying him, she's got a lot of reasons to not trust
marriage.
That's fair. I feel like she would have definitely been like, you know what? This is the third one. No way. No way am I ever letting a man fucking be able to swing no sword over me.
Yeah, I guess her example of married couples was not too strong.
Yeah, your 8-year-old marriage ideas were very different from hers, I think.
So who are you? What, do you have a strong father figure at home? Well, he's King Henry VIII. Mm-hmm. So
a little too strong.
You decide. Yeah, right.
Well, our next suspect is that love match hating principal secretary, William Cecil. Do we remember him?
Who's that?
William Cecil was the guy who was at Robert and Amy Robsart's wedding and disparagingly called it a love match.
Oh, he's the one who vomited all over his shirt at the idea of two people marrying for love. Disgusting. Marriage is about property.
Well, William Cecil was now like a main secretary guy in Elizabeth's court. So he had even more sway over the queen than Robert did.
Oh, all right.
It was basically Robert, William Cecil, and Sir Francis Walsingham who were in charge of the country while Elizabeth was queen.
Okay.
They were her like three main dudes.
Gotcha.
And William Cecil's had been one of the loudest disapproving voices at court, saying Lord Robert could never be king. That was not an acceptable person for her to marry.
Regardless of his marriage to Amy already, he just didn't want Robert and Elizabeth together.
Yeah.
They love each other. I won't have it, I say.
This man has too much sensibility to be king. Now, once Amy Robsart died, William Cecil certainly went around town saying just as loudly, you know, oh, there's all these crazy rumors going around that Robert Dudley killed his wife. Oh. Man, that's so wild. You think you know a guy, you know?
Wow.
Like, so he's walking around definitely
making a lot of noise,
spilling the tea and drinking the tea.
And so he's brewing the tea.
He's brewing the tea.
Right.
So true. So William Cecil definitely benefited the most from the scandal that blew up around Amy Robsart's death. And that's why people were starting to be like, maybe William Cecil had something to do with this.
Oh, wow. Okay. Like he who smelt it dealt it.
He who smelt it dealt it.
That's kind of what they're saying.
It's usually what we find here at the Court of Ridiculous Romance. But his defense is that historians feel that William Cecil, as much as he disliked the idea of Robert becoming king, would never have risked Elizabeth's reputation or his own by killing Amy Robsart.
Okay.
Everybody knew that this amount of scandal would not turn out well for anybody close to Elizabeth, so it would not have made sense. And William Cecil did not really believe himself that Amy had been murdered at all.
Oh, okay.
You know, he and Robert were rivals at times, but they also worked together and they spoke well of one another for years, too.
Okay.
So William Cecil was just using this scandal to benefit himself and his career, like any good politician.
Oh, sure, sure, yeah. Now, another suspect was Amy Robsart Dudley herself. Lots of folks believed then and believe now that Amy actually committed suicide that day by throwing herself down the stairs. Now, the evidence is actually pretty strong for this. The day after her death, Robert wrote to his steward, Thomas Blunt, asking him to open an inquest to figure out what the hell happened here. Why is my wife dead? Thomas wrote back that he had questioned everyone and that Amy had insisted that all of her servants attend the fair at Abingdon that day. One of them even had refused to go. She said it was, quote, no day for a gentlewoman to go.
That makes me think she's got a little Mr. Carson in her from down now. He's just like, frivolity when there are chores to be done. We could be polishing the silver.
Totally. Well, after this servant refused to go, Amy got really mad at her and was like, you better get your ass to Abingdon. I don't want you around this house. I need the place to myself. I'm going to put some music on. You know, I'm going to relax. I don't want no peeping eyes.
That's right.
Well, Thomas concluded in his report, quote, certainly, my lord, as little while as I have been here, the tales I do hear of her maketh me to think she had a strange mind in her. As scholars today think that she was suffering from breast cancer and depression, maybe exacerbated by all these rumors about her husband and the queen.
So, of course, she's just chilling at home and just has to hear about all this all the time, every day. Well, you know, your husband's fucking the queen all night. And she's like, right? Okay, thanks.
And we know they were in love.
Right.
So she definitely would have been, I think, very sad and maybe anxious, too. Because, again, it's not great for the king or queen to like or hate you too much.
Yes.
It really seems to be like a very complicated situation regardless. It seems like the best thing is if the king or queen does not know you exist.
For real. And she might be thinking that, she's got the same idea as everyone else. Like, any day someone's going to try and take me out.
Right?
Ugh, awful.
Ooh. So they think that might have been why she would have died by suicide in this way.
Yeah.
Our final suspect is cancer.
Ah, the worst.
The worst suspect of all. Because the chief reason that people at the time thought that she was murdered, besides, of course, all these rumors about Queen Elizabeth and Robert Dudley, was that the flight of stairs was only 8 steps deep.
Right.
But the inquest at the time pointed out that when she fell, all her body weight kind of landed on her neck. So the height of the fall didn't really matter. It was the weight on her neck that killed her. And then in 1956, a medical professor named Ian Aird suggested that Amy had metastatic cancerous deposits in her spine, which would cause the bones to break even with limited strain.
Oh, wow. Okay, so just kind of increased the fragility.
Right, of her
so
bones.
So a break would have been possible, even at that high. I mean, 8 steps. Mm-hmm. It really feels like, I mean, and she didn't know that about her spine being more fragile than usual, right?
Right.
So it's still weird for her to think, oh, I'll just throw myself down this very short flight of stairs and that will definitely kill me.
Right, which is why it's more than likely it was an accident, because she just fell down the stairs and happened to have weaker bones and died. You know, like anyone else maybe would have been able to pick themselves up or off the floor, but like in her case, that wasn't possible.
But then why did she send everyone? I mean, again, we all want a day at home alone. Maybe the fair was just her opportunity to be like, please get out of here. Wow. And she didn't know she was condemning herself at that point.
But it is so weird that she was so insistent, like, y'all need to leave.
It's one of those where, like, you know, sometimes a lot of coincidences come together and tragedy happens. But
that's very true.
It does look sus, as we say today.
She's like, y'all go to the fair because I want to dance around in my underwear with a broom.
Right.
Singing songs like Risky Business.
Yeah.
And I can't have y'all spreading rumors around this whole kingdom about my weird hobbies.
Right. And she waxed the floor, put her socks on, went and slid down the hallway and tumbled and right down the stairs.
I also have to say, some stairs in the 1500s are incredibly steep.
That's fair,
like,
too.
Even at 8 stairs, the stairs might be higher than our normal standard stairs today.
Right.
So, I mean, or those witch stairs. Have you seen those?
Yes.
They're just incredibly shallow steps. They're not uniform. Basically, a staircase made to murder somebody, but they used it all the time.
Oh, those are the murder stairs.
The murder stairs. So, I don't know. It is. There's so many strange coincidences here.
Yeah.
And it could also be that Amy, I don't know, this doesn't necessarily work with her character. I don't know much about her or anything, but I'm wondering if she knew about all these rumors, right? And they're making her real upset and she's super mad. And she's like, you know what? I'm dying anyway. So I'm going to make it look real fucked up for them so that they can never be together.
Wow.
Like, it was like a from the grave revenge.
Yeah, that's like,
like,
oh,
Vera
okay.
and Downton.
Okay. Oh, wow. Okay. Wait a second. I got 2 wild theories.
I'm ready.
But I think they're accurate. But speculation station, just to be safe.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
1, she found herself a body and she faked her death. She pulled out her own teeth, replaced them, put them in the cadaver, broke its neck, threw it down the stairs and was like, I'm out of here.
Wow.
I'm sick
of
this.
With no teeth?
Now she's gumming it out there in the world.
She's gumming it.
She's living free.
Tudor England.
Yeah.
Gumming it in Tudor England.
Gumming it in Tudor England. New on
A&E.
Well, no, it'd have to be a reality. So next on Bravo.
Oh, okay.
Gumming it in England. But if that's too crazy for you, then how about this? The ghost of Bloody Mary.
Uh-huh.
That's the problem. Amy went into the bathroom and she was like, oh, man, you know, I'm just having such a hard time with my husband and Queen Elizabeth. I almost wish her sister was still queen. What was her name? What was it? Bloody Mary? Bloody Mary. Yeah, Bloody Mary. And then Bloody Mary came out of the mirror.
Out of the mirror.
And shoved her down the stairs.
Oh, my
God. That tracked. Look, I'm just saying, honestly, that's a more believable theory than a lot of these.
Listen, I think Bloody Mary's go. Okay, so the Court of Ridiculous Romance has found that Bloody Mary from beyond the grave killed Amy Robsart Dudley.
Ugh.
Just because that's just what her ghost does. Otherwise, yeah. She had no reason to, but that's just how it worked.
That's why I was too scared to do it as a little kid. But I do remember thinking later, it's like, oh, you say her name three times and she appears in the mirror. And I was like, then what?
I know, right? What's she going to do?
She's in the mirror.
But that's scary enough.
But also, I'm not challenging Bloody Mary to show me what she does.
Can I tell you something really stupid about
me? I would love for you to tell me something really stupid.
When I was young, we did do Bloody Mary, like everybody. I'm sure I was like 10 or something. And we said Bloody Mary three times in the mirror,
okay. But
I never opened my eyes.
Yeah.
And we left the bathroom. And ever since, I have been afraid that if I go into the bathroom at night and look in the mirror, she'll be there because she's just been waiting.
She's been waiting.
Ever since I said it.
Wow.
So sometimes when I have to go to the bathroom in the middle of the night or something and I don't turn on the light, I keep my eyes closed while I wash my hands. Isn't that so dumb? I know it's stupid, but I still can't look in the mirror.
That stuff buries in your brain. I totally get it.
I still can't do it. I'm like, Bloody Mary's coming for me.
Oh, man. She's waiting for you.
It's so stupid. Every time I do it, I'm like, you are so dumb. But I mean, can't help it, you know?
I've had plenty of nights where I'm like, nah, I need the lights on.
It's a spooky night.
I'm in my 30s, but, you know, ghosts. I don't want them.
I don't want them.
I had no interest.
They could be out there.
Yeah.
I don't want them involved in my life.
I got to say, I'm sitting here in a brightly lit room with no mirrors recording this podcast in the middle of the day. But I said her name three times, and there will be a part of my brain for the next 6 weeks.
Right.
That thinks like, I'm going to turn the lights on in the bathroom. So I get it. That's not that stupid.
Well, I hope that they did light as a feather, stiff as a board to get Amy off the floor. Just to round it all out.
Wow. Well, I'm glad we solved the mystery.
I am too. You know, historians are welcome to reach out to see how we reached our conclusions.
To thank us.
That it's definitely Bloody Mary. It's ghost coming out the mirror. We're in Speculation Station. We can say whatever we want.
That's a legal rule.
Well, regardless of the fact that we're absolutely right and it was the ghost of Mary the First, a jury at the time found that Amy Robsart Dudley's death was accidental.
Yeah.
It's just a tragic accident.
She accidentally said Bloody Mary three times in the bathroom.
Okay, so she accidentally committed suicide. Now, of course, this decision relieved Robert somewhat, even though he actually asked for a second trial so that another jury, preferably one that included Amy's brothers, could examine the evidence.
Wow, okay.
He was like, please let John Appleyard was his name. Please let him come and like look at everything.
Mm-hmm.
Now, nothing came of that request. They were like, no, we've already done this and we've decided and that's it. But that request makes it really clear that Robert really wanted to be like extra exonerated.
Right.
And that he completely understood that no matter what a jury said one, two, or three, or four times, the court of public opinion had already decided that he was guilty.
Yeah.
And his reputation was forever kind of destroyed by this.
Right, right. So, you know, even though Robert and Elizabeth were now free to marry, technically, it could never happen at this point. Mm-hmm. But the aftermath is actually just as fascinating as the murder mystery. Even more damning rumors about these two star-crossed lovers started flying. Elizabeth tried a little matchmaking with poor results.
Very poor.
Robert knocked up his mistress, and which created another murky legal situation.
Oh, Robert.
And when he finally did find true love again, he had to hide her from his unofficial girlfriend for as long as possible. This is all crazy stuff, and we are going to tell you all about it in the next episode.
That's right. Robert and Queen Elizabeth just had too much going on.
Truly.
For one episode of Ridiculous Romance.
Ridiculous Romance. And if all this hadn't happened, we might not have Ridiculous Romance today, because, of course, Robert Dudley, one of your ancestors.
That's right.
Yeah.
Which I guess, I mean, well, we'll get more into that next time when we tell you all about his other lovers and everything.
Yeah, I want to know how straight this line is.
Right, but he didn't have kids with Amy. So I know we were not descended from the gentleman farmer from Norfolk.
Oh.
So I'm very interested.
Descended from another woman, eh? Well, I hope you're all titillated by the potential there. And join us again next time.
I'm very excited that we did this because my parents mentioned it the other day, my father and mother, and they said if we did this story, they'd finally listen to the show. So we have two new downloads today from my loving parents.
Wow, we doubled our listeners.
So hope you liked it, Mom and Dad.
Yeah.
We absolved our ancestor of murder finally. By blaming it on a ghost.
Yes.
You're welcome.
It is decided. Well, that's exciting. I'm very excited for next week's episode. I hope you all are too.
Yeah.
Because I actually, this is Diana's episode. I don't know what happens next.
Oh my God.
I can't wait to find
out. I'm obsessed.
I'm on the edge of my seat. And I've got the lights on in the bathroom.
You know I do. Well, I hope you loved it as much as I did. I love a court intrigue. Mm-hmm. There's so many different relationships in this that are ridiculous in different ways. So it was just a really fun one to go over. I would love to hear your thoughts, as always. We love to hear from you guys. Anything you have to say. If you have your own speculation station about who murdered whom in this situation, would love to hear it. Our email is ridicromance@gmail.com.
Yes, or reach out on Instagram. Tell us if you've had an experience with Bloody Mary, either the queen or the ghost. Either way, you can find us. I'm at Oh Great, It's Eli.
I'm at Dynamite Boom.
Or just mess with the show at ridicromance.
Right. We thank you so much for spending your time with us today. We love you so much, and we'll see you soon for the next episode.
Bye-bye.
So long, friends. It's time to go. Thanks for listening to our show. Tell your friends, neighbors, uncles, and aunts to listen to our show, Ridiculous Romance.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in L.A., and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart for a year, and what a year it has been. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Make Woke AF Daily your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.